where my experience began as far as why I'm here. So I've been an Asian bodywork therapist for about 25 years, which is shiatsu, and along the way I learned a bunch of other things. I learned osteopathic manipulations, which are non-invasive physical adjustments, so on and so forth. I kind of, since we're not regulated by anyone, we can build our own toolbox, so to speak, and, you know, kind of try to find what works for various physical ailments, and that's kind of how that went. And then in 1999, I studied herbalism for a few years with David Winston in New Jersey, and went along from there, and kind of had a bad car accident in 2007, which kind of curtailed my work for a period of years. I had to cut way back because I had what they call a closed head brain injury. So I had migraine headaches every day for 3 years.
Ouch.
And so I would work with someone and have to lie down myself for an hour and then get up and work on someone and lie on my own table for an hour, so on and so forth, that kind of thing. So anyway, we fast forward. That was 2007. Then we fast forward to, I believe it was 2013, where I wasn't working that much. I was only seeing people in the mornings, which I'm still kind of doing, actually. I'll get to why in a minute, but I kind of got bored. I kind of thought I'd reached the end of my rope with this work. I knew everything I could know about it, and I knew who I could help and who I could not help. So I delved into some DVD workshops by a man named Alan Harriet. And lo and behold, one of them talked about this center point in your head. He called it a core point. And he no longer teaches from this particular thing at all, but I think I should mention him. And it's nothing new, I'm sure. I'm sure been around. It's kind of behind your eyes. And it would be more of a pituitary point maybe than a pineal point.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, when you find it, it opens up your flow. Everything just starts. There's a noticeable change in how you feel. There's a big dropping. I found it quite impressive, to say the least. So,
sure. Yeah.
I started working with it, and then I was able to move it right into my practice, you know, working from this place, being in this place. So, and lo and behold, a lot of things started happening that never happened before. So, this is pretty cool. I'm wondering if I can teach this to someone. You know, Alan can actually see energy, so he knows if you're in the point, he can tell.
Mm-hmm.
By looking what's going on, I can't see it as well as he can. I see something, but it's not a real clear picture for me.
Yeah.
So, but I can, it turns out I can tell. I pick it up on some level. So if I stand in front of a person and I guide them to this place to be in, there, it's like turning up the dimmer on a light bulb. It's really big and everything kind of changes. So, I started teaching some workshops and so on, and spending much time being in this place, which has a big effect on the crown. It opens what they call diaphragms. One would be at the perineum,
mm-hmm.
one at the true diaphragm at the bottom of the rib cage, one in the throat, one at the soft palate, and the crown. You can feel that there's tingling that starts to happen, and you get this your body kind of melts when you get in this this zone, and it's that's why it's called a yin based,
right?
From a Chinese perspective, because it's a, it's an allowing passive thing rather than a projecting of energy. It's not a doing anything like that. You're not really connecting anybody to anything. You're channeling energy into anybody. It just has to do with flow. And it just so happens when you either touch or connect on whatever level in this state, they seem to, what they call these days, entrain to it,
mm-hmm.
come to that same place, and things start to happen. So, I had some unusual successes with some supposedly incurable issues with people, and was able to teach it to some people and presented some workshops and so on and so forth. And then, I got to the point where I could be in that place and drive. I could.
Mm-hmm.
It's like changing your awareness, just expands so much. It's like if you were initially looking through a toilet paper roll, and
yeah.
all of a sudden you took that away, and like everything's coming from in front of you, behind you, all over the place. It's just coming in. I spent a lot of time walking my dog and just laughing like a fool. just for no reason whatsoever, just because, wow, this is great. Taking this breath is great. Being alive is great. Everything is just fantastic. And then I started to become realize more of what was experiencing this, what part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to notice that, this consciousness or whatever can't judge. Can't judge. Can't criticize. Oh. Can't do any of these dopey things we get caught up in all the time.
We're so good at.
Because I had always read, you do this and you do that and you, you kind of reinvent yourself or find a part of yourself or you do something. I tried for most of my life to, do the things that I think a human being should be doing. Like not be caught up in all your story and your drama and your critiques of everybody else and yourself and so on and so forth. And then it turns out this pure conscious part can't do any of these things anyway. So you don't have to do anything. It's just there. It's just, and it can experience anything. Like if I want to be blissful right now, I can go there and be blissful. I can get that look on my face and so on and so forth. If I want to experience whatever, it's an experiencer. It's a watcher. From there, everything changes dramatically. Of course, you have some weaving in and out of the stuff and then back and, but it's at the point now, I'm getting more and more refined as, me is getting more refined. It comes in and out and so on, but I can consciously make the change and decide where I'm going to focus my awareness. I can just stay with, I can stop my thoughts. I can just stop all of that stuff, push it behind somewhere and just stay with that. And of course, there were periods where my thoughts stopped without me doing anything for like a period of time. And it was like a little bizarre. And, you read about it and everything. And it's, well, and then my thoughts came back and it was like, what happened? Isn't it supposed to be this way? Hence my issues with dogma. On my site, I say there is no dogma in what I teach because there's no one way. There's no way everybody's going to do this thing. I mean, it's not going to be the same for everybody. So like if somebody, I mean, there's traditions, which I don't believe are necessarily true either. They're useful, but you can be stuck in a box with it. You can, I'm not doing this right. I could have liked, maybe if I was a different personality, I would decide that I'm nowhere again, and I'm thinking that and be stuck again, and so on and so forth. But the cool thing is I started getting online and looking at various things, and I found other people with the same experiences, which kind of validated, yeah, it can come and go. This can happen. Sure, it doesn't have to happen in that order. It doesn't. I have fun with it rather than be serious about it, because, being serious is not why we're here, I don't think.
Well said.
Yeah, I think your life is supposed to be happy, and you should be able to be joyful and not be caught up in the things that bring you down. So from there, I always understood all through my my work, my professional life with the Asian body work, that our illnesses are predominantly they're not physical. They're coming from our stuff, our fears, our anger, our worry, all of these things. So, and there's more and more evidence coming out that that's true. So I was, interested in finding how I could work with clearing a lot of that stuff for teaching a person to do it with themselves, to work on yourself. When something comes up, can you clear that charge? It's kind of like a charge, because if I say something and it provokes you on a negative level, there's some kind of subconscious or me charge there. So working with that over a period of the last year, probably, I think I finally come across something that works really well. And you can teach people, like I said, do it with yourself. People who take the workshop and learn the healing thing can go get a little deeper with other people too. And, you'd be surprised what goes on when you ask what a person is feeling. I mean, I had a person who was suffering from pain from shingles.
Hmm.
And I said, well, let's try this. You know, what does that feel like? Well, it hurts here and there. Yeah, but what does it feel like? Well, I feel like I shouldn't have gotten sick. I thought I was in pretty good health, and so on and so forth. And you get into that. There might be more than one layer, of course. There may be many layers, depending on what's going on. But, I mean, lo and behold, when we cleared that, the pain's gone. And supposedly, there's a virus in his body causing this to happen, blah, blah, blah. There's all these technical reasons, intellectual reasons, scientific reasons, as to why this person is hurting, and yet we cleared some emotional stuff and it went away like immediately. So I kind of think there's a lot of gold to be mined there, you know?
Sure.
As far as getting people really well and, a real cure, for the people that are interested, of course. I mean,
right.
There's a saying, people don't want to be cured, they want relief. Because the cure may be too difficult. So, but there are some out there who are certainly interested, and especially if they come to a workshop and they get to experience a lot of the things, that we talk about and think about all the time when you get into the subject of waking up and so on. I've been reading books my whole life on that stuff, and it was like, I can't seem to do this. There's nothing happening. How does this happen? Then when you start to experience it, it becomes a completely different thing. Like, wow, that's what they're talking about. And then all of a sudden, all these teachings mean something else. You start to see the thread through the whole thing, through all the spiritual traditions and so on. You start to see and understand. It's like a big aha moment, you know? Bang, all of a sudden, whoa, that's what that means. That's what that means. And that's what that feels like, which is hard to explain because it's like telling a blind man what green is. Because it's an experience. It's not a, you know, words really don't do it much of this justice. So at the risk of rambling on, hopefully someone else will have something to say here. Or
Do you feel like people are interested in, you know, the contemplative side of this discovery, which may or may not complement, right, the healing side?
I find that a good percentage are, yes, definitely. Because people that are just seeking something.
Yeah.
Something new, some kind of new thrill or whatever, they end up in my workshop. It might be a little different than what they initially thought they were coming in for, but...
Right.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of interest in that. There's a lot of spiritual people that are searching, you know, just looking for something they can relate to.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, so...
Yeah, friends along the way, teachers and mentors along the way, you know, a community of practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very nice.
Right. You seem to have lost Bruce there.
I see that. Yeah, he disappeared. This is my wife Beth to my left or my right.
Hi, how are you?
Nice to meet you.
Bruce has a bad connection sometimes. It has to go in and out for him.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I missed the first 10 minutes because I wasn't here, and I have no idea who you are.
Peter Veltri.
But I know I can see. Sorry, Peter. But you sound familiar. Are you from? Where are you from?
I'm from northeastern Pennsylvania. I live in a town called Dalton right now.
Okay. All right. My mother grew up in Jessup, outside of Scranton.
I know the Perugines live there.
There you go. I went to Marywood.
Yeah, all the people, the Italians from Perugia.
Yes. they're all in Dunmore.
I had an aunt that lived in Jessup, yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice little town.
Yeah, that's, I spent most of my childhood and so on in Troop.
Uh-huh, right. My grandmother's from Oliphant, which is right next to Troop, I think, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the Ukrainians.
Yeah.
every community had the part of the melting pot in that entire area there, the valley, the mid-valley. It was a pretty cool place to grow up, for sure.
Nice.
Are you fond of the pizza? What's the pizza that we like so much?
Old Forge
pizza?
Yeah. Although it doesn't seem to be as good as it used to be.
Yeah.
I know. Something's changed. Last time I was there, I was really just... It's good. It encouraged me not to eat it.
Yeah. It used to be the best pizza on the planet, I thought.
Yeah.
So...
What is your experience now?
I'm not sure I understand your question. What do you mean now? Which experience?
I mean, in the biggest sense of life. I don't know where the microphone is. In like the biggest sense of what is your? How would you describe your experience of living or reality?
It's not about me anymore, for the most part. I can see all of the, I can give you a little experience I had not too long ago. When I wake up in the morning, first thing, there's a special zone I seem to be in. And everyone I pretty much befriended in my life went one by one, and I saw why, what I needed from them, every one of them. I needed him for that. I needed her for that. I needed him for that, to reinforce parts in me that I thought needed reinforcing mistakenly. But so that things like that happen. You start to realize that you can be happy just for the sake of being happy. You don't have to have a reason or a person or anything. I mean, you can just, I mean, not that it's not great to have people. I mean, I enjoy people's company when they're there and so on and so forth, but do I really need them to be, is my whole life going to resolve on, or revolve rather on who my so-called friends are and so on and so forth, family, all of that. It ends up just being more of the same thing. You realize you're just manipulating everybody all the time. You're not, which is not, which has nothing to do with love, which has nothing to do with anything really, because you're just keeping the drama going, and your perceptions start to fall away. I think it starts to become less and less important that those things are happening, and it becomes part of the background. Now, I don't know if the me part ever really disappears. I don't think it obliterates.
That's mine.
Sorry.
Sorry. It's in my pocket.
But I think the me part becomes more refined, and I think it becomes more in the background rather than the ruling, because there are parts of that are okay, I think, actually, because I think we're here to enjoy certain things, and as long as they don't end up meaning too much, I think you're fine. It's just a matter of what does this or that actually mean to you, you know, as far as physicality is concerned and this or that. I mean, you know, I could live in a nice house. I could live in a not so nice house. I lived in a not so nice house for many years. So if I had to go back there again, that's nothing to me. I don't care. I can have a nice car. If I don't have the nice car tomorrow, cool. I'll drive my, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, so I think, but you can enjoy things and without getting too crazy about it. But I think there's just a feeling of life just comes at you, and you just watch it. It's like a big movie or something. I don't know. And it just unfolds. Does that make any sense?
Yes. Is it unfolding at you or in you?
I would say. I'm like watching it. Yeah, I'm watching it. I can watch myself. I can watch myself talking to you.
You can see your body?
No, just myself, kind of. It's kind of hard to explain.
I see.
But I could be behind it.
Yeah, I understand. Yep.
And watching how I'm interacting and so on. Does that make any sense? I don't know.
Sure.
It's hard to verbalize a lot of these things because they're experiences. They're not cut in stone physical things like we're taught to relate to. They just don't. It's not the same at all. So hopefully that it's some of your questions about where I mean, and that's. Just where, even from me being a so-called teacher, I mean, all I can do is relay my experience. That's all. I mean, I'm not saying what I say is truth or anything else. I mean, it's just my experience. I mean, if that means anything to you, and if you can glean something from that, fine. If you can't, then in fact, the way I look at the workshop, you know, at the very least, you learn a very interesting healing modality. And at the very most, you can learn how to be happy. You can understand what happiness really is, and you can, you know, you can get some a comfortable way of living that I think is preferable to what I was doing before. You know, you just get to a point, it's like, this isn't working. There's got to be something else going on here, because you spend most of your life hammering a square peg into a round hole, you know, like it just, so I think some degree of suffering and on any level, whatever it may be, it can be very useful, actually. I think getting fed up is good.
What kinds of things do you do in the workshop?
Well, it's all about finding a particular point in your head that opens your energy flow up. And what I do is I can tell when a person is there. They usually can't find it that easily. I usually have to give them some guidance. But I can tell when that happens, everything just blows up, the energy field and the flow in the body and so on and so forth. I've even had people with elderly people kind of bent over, have them lie on their backs, and they become so loose that the curvature of their spine will go right against the floor. I had one guy tell me his head hasn't hit the floor in like many years, and just from going there. It's a pretty profound thing.
Can you see this on video? Can you see that now?
Can I see it?
Yeah. Are you seeing, would you say you were seeing something different than?
Well, I would feel it more than I would see it.
I see.
Yeah, it's more of a feeling I've always had a good feel for energy in general, energy. And so I kind of use what I have.
For someone coming from Northeast Pennsylvania.
Hey, you never know.
You never know.
Who knows why I'm here? I have no idea.
So is the point kind of where the pituitary gland is, or it's something that may be less, more subtle or not so physical?
Well, it could be in slightly different places in different people, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
The acupressure points and so on the body, they're never exactly where the chart is, because we're all, which is why some guidance is helpful for the person to find it. But, you know, from looking at if you look at a picture of somebody's skull cut in half and where the pituitary, it's behind the eyes, you know, the center line. And for some people, it's the size of a golf ball, maybe. For me, it was always big, you know, which... Mm-hmm. It was always a big space. But like I say, it could be anything, but when you're there, I can tell. So,
mm-hmm.
Which is quite useful. And when they, when they're there, they can tell too, whoever I'm working with. So, and if we're sitting in chairs next to each other, I mean, a person will get the point and the person next to them, their digestive system starts gurgling, because just from sitting there, there's a shift, you know, there's, mm-hmm. An opening, a movement, a flow. And and with the system, there's no, I don't know how much you know about healing, energetic healing methods, but you have all this dogma there too. Oh, watch out, somebody's bad energy can stick to you and all this other stuff. Well, none of that applies here. There's such a flow going on that it'd be like dropping a leaf in a river.
No.
Anything that, you know, it just keeps going. It doesn't stick, you know. So there's no need for clearing yourself. There's no need for, in fact, I found there's no need for most of the rules that, you know what I mean? They always come up with all this stuff that do this, don't do that, make sure that happens. And I found most of it not to be true. You know, when you study shiatsu, you find out the meridians run in a certain direction, so you're supposed to work in a certain direction. Well, I think, well, what would happen if I work in the other direction? So I do it. And not, you know, the same thing happens. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever. So you can kind of, you can play with this thing too, which is interesting, you know. It doesn't have to be serious. And you could, I encourage people to teach me something. You know, I don't want to, people look at me as knowing everything about this. I know very little. And you know, what I do know is still seems to be unfolding. So I really don't want to box anybody in. There are some things I might have people try for starters, but the sky is the limit. So you can, it's unlimited. You can do whatever you want. Almost anything I've ever tried in that state seems to work from a bodywork perspective. So much more quickly. If you do any other kind of modality, you know, craniosacral work or whatever, it speeds it up. Things that used to take 10 minutes now take 1 minute.
Are you familiar with matrix energetics?
Yes, sure.
Mm-hmm. Richard Bartlett, right, yeah.
Yeah.
So how would you compare your experience to what you know of his experience?
From what I've read, his experiences are a lot more fantastic than mine. You know what I mean? His stuff is, you know, I mean, he shows up at workshops in a Batman costume.
Yes.
He's an unusual character. But I use him as an example. I mean, that would turn a lot of people off. They'd say, this guy's nuts. I'm not. You can still learn something from somebody who's supposedly nuts. I mean, having an idea of where your information is supposed to come from is very limiting. There you're in a box again. But I have learned, you know, I can do what he does. That's the thing too. I can look at or read about what anybody's doing and just do it, because it ends up being the same thing. It's like music. You know, I'm a musician also. And, you know, even though there's different styles of music, after a while, it's all the same. There really is no, nobody's playing anything that's not a CDE. You know what I mean? It's the same stuff. It's rearranged differently and the feel is different, and you stick to certain things to stay within that little niche, country music or whatever. It has to be a certain way to sound country, a certain way to sound like jazz, so on and so forth. But it's still all the same thing. It doesn't. And once you break through that, it's like, you know, no matter what it is. There's another guy. Eric Pearl.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Same thing. You know, I read what he does. I could just try it and it works. I mean, so I have a lot of things at my disposal that I can use, but it's all the same. I mean, they try to make it different to sell it more than anything else, you know, and make a complete method out of it. But I have always found that being more eclectic is more useful overall. Having different ways you can go when you feel the need to. Like the 2-point that Bartlett uses.
Yes.
2-point.
Right.
That goes back to Polynesian shamanism. That's not new. I mean, he claims to have invented it. He didn't invent that. I mean, is what I'm doing new? No. I mean, I learned the point from somebody. And it started taking on a life of its own and going a completely different direction. But that point's been around for, I'm sure, forever, too. I mean, I just never stumbled on it before. So what's new?
Not much. Do you have any questions in life?
Less and less. I'm to the point where I kind of, I'm not in a hurry to get the answer. I think if I get the answer and I'm open to anywhere it can come from, it comes. Usually when you least expect, and probably from a place where you least expected it to come from. So I don't feel squeezed anymore. You know what I mean? I spent a big part of my life being like I was in a vice, and it kept cranking it up and cranking it up and pressure all the time. And, you know, just a lot of it's, well, just about all of it's self-inflicted.
Did your, this teacher, Alan Harriet, right, that you mentioned?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you had further conversations or experiences with him about how the discovery of that point and, let's just say, shifts in your consciousness have unfolded?
Well, the thing is, by the time I got into it, he was already out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And into something different. He does something called the Wonder Method now. And he's not too interested in talking about that anymore. So,
okay.
That's the way it seemed to me. So,
right.
I don't know, but I saw someone else mention it on YouTube at one point. Not using it in the same way, but it was the same point.
Right.
For opening up the crown chakra and so on. But I don't know that much about it, actually, and I don't know if it's that important to know.
Yeah. When you talk about, you know, shifts in consciousness or seed mm-hmm. of awareness, right, being able to sense yourself interacting from a kind of a meta place of sensitivity, mm-hmm. right, that those kinds of experiences are very reminiscent of the chatter that we hear, right, from contemporary non-duality.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see that. There's a lot of different names for the same thing. Non-duality. What's the other one? Dr. Ewan. Neutrality.
Sure.
Where you're, you know, in fact, one of my big mantras is even when I'm working, you know, this person feels this way and it's okay. You have to get to the point where it's okay. It's just, there's something magical in that state when it's okay. And you're not trying to manipulate, you're just watching, and it's all right, and no matter what's going on with someone, it's okay for them to feel that way, and it's okay for me to feel this way, so on and so forth. I'm sure there's a few other names that aren't coming to me for that
sure.
that idea, but
yeah,
that's kind of what it seems to be at this point for me. That may change tomorrow, who knows, but I don't know. Every time I think I understand something, it changes.
Thank God.
You try to put it in a box and you can't. You know, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's not what it is.
Do you operate from the understanding of a human?
Not a trick question.
Sometimes, yeah. I would say since people's issues seem to be what's causing their distress, yeah, definitely. Because, you know, it could be, one way of looking at it, it could be coming from some say this life or a previous life. Some say it could be coming from the ancestors. And this is more of a Chinese perspective, the ancestors or even descendants. Since there's no time in this, in the act of just being, of consciousness, of just being conscious, not even an act, is it? It is. So, it could come from the future. It could come from descendants. It could come from ancestors. It could come from a traumatic event. It can come from the collective consciousness or unconsciousness or whatever you want to call it. It can come from an illness. It can come from, what would the other one be? There is one more. But you see where I'm coming from with that. When I'm working from a healing perspective, it could be any of those things. So, you know, clearing that charge in the field just, it sometimes can just totally, excuse me, obliterate whatever the physical manifestation is.
Yeah.
Because in Chinese medicine, anger has to do with the liver. Worry has to do with the stomach. Grief has to do with the lungs. Sadness, sorrow, heart, maybe. So, and these organs get drained of their chi. These emotions have to be supported by energy.
Mm.
So, you're sending out all these tentacles of energy to these manifestations in your field. I kind of look at it like it's your weather. It's like the weather on the planet. You know, it's the same. There's turbulence. There's nice stuff. There's, you know, there's some clouds. There's some rain. There's some tornadoes. There's all kind of things going on there. So, and that's demanding your life force to perpetuate it. And it seems that chi comes from, like, to support anger, comes from the liver. So your liver could be weakened or overamped. A lot of times it gets overactive as a result of the imbalance. So, you know, if that makes sense to you, you can see how a person becomes so-called diseased or ill by the chi being sent to the wrong places and animating these things that there's no need to be animating. So.
Yeah.
If you're walking around stewing on something for hours and hours, I mean, you're not helping yourself at all. So I would say, yeah, I mean, it's very human. Very, very me.
So just to clarify, like we're talking about healing and experiences. So this, we're not confusing this with non-duality or self-realization or awakening. Is that right? Are we putting these together, or do you find a correlation between these? Right.
Well, yeah, the things certainly became clearer for me through this work, through opening, being in that point, and just looking at everything from that awareness. Little by little, things started to shift in my perception, my awareness, and obviously that will help not only healing work if you do it, but I mean it's what you are. You find out. I mean, I go to work and I be who I am, and I get paid, which is pretty cool. So that's all I do. I don't have any persona I have to project. I don't have any. You know, I just go and be who I am. And also I get to interact with people and hopefully teach them some of my experiences, and hopefully they can take that and run with it. I mean, that's my, that's the idea behind it. It might be thought of as a shortcut in a way. I mean, you know, to your, I was never, I'm lazy. What can I tell you? So, I mean, I meditated in spurts throughout my life, but I could never just seem to get what everybody was talking about, get to that place. I couldn't take it into the world. You know, if I went and sat, yeah, that's cool, but then I got to get up and I got to go interact with people, and it's like, how do I do that? And with this, I find you can do that. You can take it with you. You all the time. And eventually, you don't have to go to the point anymore. It just becomes a feeling. So I really don't have to use what I teach anymore. It's just there. I mean, if that has to do with, I mean, I call it waking up. I don't know technical we have to be here or whatever, but, you know, I mean, I see people online arguing about whose guru is better. whose guru is more enlightened, and it's like,
oh yeah,
you know, what's that all about? I mean, I'm like I said, I just relay my experiences. I teach what I can, and what people choose to do with it, fine. And the same with the healing work. If someone doesn't get well, I'm just a facilitator, kind of. I'm just there, and I can't hold myself responsible or criticize myself if someone doesn't get well, because it's bigger than a lot of what a person might think. When you start thinking you're doing it, then you're getting in trouble, because you're putting pressure on yourself. You have to perform, you know, and it's not about performing. It's just, you know, whatever happens, happens. I got to be okay with it, and that's end of story. So.
Well, thanks.
Does that answer your question? I hope. You okay with that, Bruce?
Yeah. I think we're talking about, I think your experience is awesome, and we're talking about healing and, transformation and whatever. I don't think we're talking about non-duality or realization whatsoever, but man, I'm not saying that's what the purpose of the talk was that you were invited for, but I'm just saying, I just don't want to be confused about that, because in no way do I see this as non-duality or realization. I see it as healing, as transformation, okay. Like you said.
Okay. So, that's fine. Yeah.
But, you know, that's my opinion. So,
mm-hmm. Sure.
If there's a me and if there's an opinion.
that's fine. I don't know. What do you think about that, Jeff?
Well, I appreciate Bruce's background and empathize and sympathize with it and share it in terms of what would you call it, a lifelong body of work or a body of study and the vocabulary that accompanies it and experiential expectations that accompany that.
Right.
And so it's easy for us to get, you know, kind of boxed into, a body of expectation about what someone's experience should be, how they articulate that, how they convey that. And it's good to be, you know, stretched and challenged.
Sure.
Right? I mean, you could begin a journey with a technique, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which arouses sensitivity of, the pituitary gland as a physical gland, as a endocrine function, and also as, you know, the seat of disembodied euphoria.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be fortunate to find this zone of disembodied euphoria, and it starts doing what it will do with you, which is kind of a natural maturation of species.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Just like the Polynesian two-point, right? Finding its renewal in the body of matrix energetics.
Right.
And I can appreciate how that kind of sensitivity can mature into an awakening, which we could characterize as, you know, freedom from the presumption or burden of self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you discover a vibratory quality or a home base of consciousness, which is no longer tethered to body, to mind, to language, to any kind of expectation or pressure whatsoever.
Right, right.
And that's like, wow, I'm that, rock and roll, you're that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I can't put it as well as you can.
No one can put it as well as Jeff can.
Well, that's an Achilles vulnerability.
I like concise.
She doesn't like, no, she doesn't like to listen to this crap. She likes, bada boom. Bada bing, bada boom.
Maybe just movement.
Yeah. Well, the, one of the, places I come from also is that, maybe everything we think we know is wrong. What if it's wrong? Question. Question.
Well, no, that's not, for me, that's not even a maybe. That's a definite.
Really? That's a guarantee.
That has to be known to be even what this really is.
Yeah.
What you just said is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because,
I don't think that can be questioned.
Right.
What you just said, that we might not know. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm setting that up right.
Yeah. No, that I think when you think you know something, you're not going to process things the same way. You're looking things through funny glasses. You know what I mean? Everything has a slant on it already. It's like watching Fox News or something. It's all got, you know what I mean? They're just saying things that everybody wants to hear already and already believes, and so therefore there's no room for anything new to come in. I see you got some music, some musical instruments there and so on. I'm a musician also, and another funny thing happened about music. I thought I knew a lot about music. I taught at a very renowned music school in Los Angeles in the late 70s. You know, I played jazz. I thought I knew everything about music. And then this happens, and it's like, I don't know anything about music.
What is music?
What makes it magical? I mean, you learn technically what music is, yes. But what makes something magical as opposed to something that's just somebody that's very proficient technically and they sound like a robot? I mean, what's that? That thing, you know, like it's the same thing. Like, what is consciousness? It's the same thing. What's animating anything or everything?
So when you
we claim to know all these things, and you can't even figure out what makes an ant be conscious. You can't even figure out an insect. You know what I mean? What is it? What's that light in your dog's eyes or in your eyes? What is that? You know. So, how much can we know? I mean, sometimes it seems like I know everything and I know nothing at the same time. So, depending on how you want to look at it.
Good point.
Yeah. Anything else anybody wants to bring up? I think... just getting back to your, non-duality and so on. To me, that's just being okay with everything. Everything's okay. It's fine. I can still act without being emotionally invested. I can, you know what I mean? If something is unjust or whatever, I'm not going to get crazy. I'll do what I have to do, you know, and that's it. I mean, if something happens, it's being able to, be okay. Everything is fine. Everything is a mess, but it's fine at the same time.
That's a good T-shirt.
So does that make any sense? I don't know if that's what you mean by non-duality, but I don't know. It seems like it might be similar. But, you know, explaining it is not the easiest thing in the world. It really isn't. I think, Stephen, certain avatars may have had trouble explaining it. I honestly believe that. I mean, how do you explain that? I mean, that's how it...
Non-duality would point to more that your idea that I am a human
Mm-hmm.
Full on an idea.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So it wouldn't be that there's a human with an idea. It's just...
Mm-hmm.
I think non-duality is not referring to...
Mm-hmm.
Not the best word, probably, to describe your...
Right.
Experience or your...
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay. Okay.
Really great.
Maybe that would be more towards what's called neutrality then.
Yeah.
A state of neutrality. Yeah. I'm kind of just allowing things to happen and paying it, you know, and just watching and that's it. You know.
I've always loved body work. What's possible in it, and
mm-hmm.
it's fascinating.
Oh, it is. It is. It's a lot of, well, especially since we're pretty phobic in the West about it in a big way, in this country anyway. It's changed a lot in the 25 years I've been doing it, but, you know, in countries in Europe, I mean, family members massage each other and everything. It's kind of a normal thing, but here it's... something a little different. So it's, I never thought I would end up doing what I'm doing. You know, it wasn't my plan, believe me. But the plans are funny. So, yeah, I my music career was going to be my whole thing. And then I had trouble with my hand. I had something called focal dystonia, which derailed everything. That was a traumatic thing. I got myself to a very high level of proficiency and so on and so forth. And then one day I woke up and it was gone. Bang.
Wow.
History. So I had a pretty distinct idea who I was at the time, and suddenly that wasn't there anymore. So and I started trying to find ways to heal the problem. And the most, even though it didn't heal the problem, the most effective thing I tried was shiatsu. So one thing leads to another. Start working with shiatsu was like I always did it, even though I didn't even know what it was before that. So, pretty interesting.
Where did you train?
I'm sorry?
Where did you train for shiatsu?
I trained with a teacher who studied with Ohashi. I studied with, at the time there weren't really many schools or anything like that. So, I had to pick it up and, I would hang out with a doctor of, Oriental medicine at the time, an acupuncturist. He would let me come and hang out. So he'd show me how to look at tongues, feel pulses, all that kind of stuff. And, little by little, I took workshops. I studied with different people. I did a few things at the International School of Shiatsu years ago. And so it kind of came in bits and pieces rather than the real regimented way of doing things now. And that fit my personality better anyway at the time. So it worked out well for me.
For the International School of Shiatsu, you mean in Pennsylvania? Or?
Yeah, Doylestown, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's 10 minutes from here.
Very nice area there. Very nice. I like it. Yeah. Yeah, so anyone else have anything they want to bring up or mention? Or?
I just want to say thank you for your courtesy and your time. Your candor has been just wonderful. It's been great to hang out with you.
It was a pleasure here too, Jeff, and everyone else.
Yeah, when
you hear that accent.
That's right.
Yeah.
Next time we're up in Scranton, we'll look you up and go out for a brew. And when you're down in Doylestown, maybe we can catch up with you then.
Yeah, sure. When there's something potentially in September, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
See if it rosters out. That's the thing.
Yeah.
The great thing is I'm rostering out here and not there all the time, which is this town should be bigger, and
yeah.
So I don't know.
Well,
did you get in touch with? Susan.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm happy to send you some, you know, resources of people that can get the word out about your work. And as promised, I'll send you this recording, which might be useful for your website or what have you. And we'll get together again in the future and see how things are going.
Sounds good. It was a pleasure.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Peter.
Have a good evening.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.